Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44, and it reads, "As he taught, he said, 'Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the great condemnation.' He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people, put large sums of money in. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which were worth about a penny. He then called his disciples and said to them, 'Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those combined into the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you today with a sermon that's entitled simply, Tips for the Lord. In both of our scripture readings for today, something amazing happened. In our Old Testament reading, a prophet by the name of Elijah, who had been told by God in the midst of a severe drought to journey to a place named Zarephath and find a widow who will provide you with food. And in that same passage of scripture, the widow who he was told to go and find, a woman who barely had enough food for herself and for her son to eat, who at Elijah's request took some of what she had and prepared a meal for him. And then in our gospel reading, here we find yet a poor widow, a woman who went into the temple, and as the scriptures so eloquently states, it said that she gave out of her poverty. She gave all that she had, two little copper coins, which we're told are only worth a penny by today's currency and standards. Now, knowing how serious each of their situations were, Elijah, not knowing if this widow who God told him about would even be able to feed him in the midst of the drought, and this widow whose fate was quite uncertain, for she had nothing more than just a tiny bit of flour and a small bit of oil, barely enough to make a meal for her and her son, was willing to share that with Elijah. And in the New Testament, again, we have a woman who came into the treasury bringing all that she had, those two little copper coins, and gave them willingly, freely, and unconditionally. All of them gave and responded to God without hesitation, without doubt. I'd like to say without fear, but I doubt that'd be true. And when I look about that, the only thing I can say is they have done something that I can only describe as being amazing. Each one of them were put in a position where they had to make an extremely difficult choice. And as I looked at the choices they made, the only question that could come to my mind is, did they make the right decision? And if so, was it worth it? Beloved people of God, though these three accounts that we read about just a few seconds ago are extremed, there has been times in just about all of our lives, I would say, that we've all were faced with making some tough decisions as well. Allow me to give you an example of some of the types of tough decisions that I'm talking about.
Another bill. Oh, another bill. Ooh, Black Friday sale at Best Buy. Nice. Oh, bill. Oh.
Having some trouble, Gary? Can I help?
I doubt you could, Dave. Come on, I'm trying to figure out my pledge for the church, and it's not working out.
How so?
There are too many bills each month. We can hardly cover them. I'm afraid we'll have to cut back on what we're giving.
I know times are tough, Gary. I'm with you on that. But if anything, the church needs more support now. Our pledges will help those who have been hit even harder than we have, including some within the church itself.
I know, but with our situation, I just can't see how we can justify the expense.
You go out to eat occasionally to an actual sit-down restaurant, don't you?
Yeah, though not as often as we used to.
You leave a tip for the server, don't you? 15%, right?
Usually try to do a little better than that, but 15's the base these days.
Why don't you just stop tipping? Save some money there.
No way. I've worked service jobs. Most of what the waiters and waitresses earn come from those tips. Besides, they provided me with a service, and I want to show my appreciation.
There you have it, Gary. Our pledges, not just of money, but of time and talents as well. Those are our tips to the Lord, to show our appreciation for all God has given us.
All God's given us?
This world we're standing in, the air in our lungs, our physical bodies, everything comes from God. And we're not even asked for a 15% gratuity.
15% of everything? That would be an enormous bill.
It's more than that, though. Our gifts to the Lord are evidence of our involvement with God. They show us that we are united with the Lord in pursuit of God's kingdom.
You're right. I hadn't thought of it like that.
I always remember TIPS as an acronym. To ensure prompt service. In the spiritual sense, it's an acronym as well. It means our totally involved personal service.
TIPS. I get it.
That's right. Totally involved personal service. To our totally involved personal Savior.
Let the church say amen. Totally involved personal service for our totally involved personal Savior. TIPS. Most everyone has faced some challenges during our lifetime. And yet, when we hit those hard moments, just like Gary, we find ourselves sometimes trying to figure out, what are we supposed to do with this? And sometimes they get so bad that we may even find ourselves asking the question, where was God when I needed him the most? And though some of us may have a hard time accepting it in the moment, the reality is that God has always been there, right by your side all along. It doesn't say in the Bible that when we become followers of Christ, that life would be easy, does it? It just simply says that when we find ourselves facing those times of troubles and heartaches and pains and financial challenges, it tells us in the book of Deuteronomy to be strong and not to be afraid, because God is with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never turn his back on you in your time of need. This is the promise that God has made to each and every one of us. No matter where we are in our lives, we are in a place where when we're facing those challenges, God will always be there. He's only a prayer away. And I can honestly say personally that God has always kept that promise to me. God has always been there by showing me by his own hands that he is with me. Just out of curiosity, by a show of your hands, how many of you have ever had a rough time in your life at any point? Let me see some hands. Some of us will probably need to put up two hands, because some of us have been through a lot of stuff, haven't we? This, beloved people of God, is what it means. When we're going through those tough times, God becomes a totally involved personal Savior. Someone who will ensure that whatever it is you're going through, you will never have to go through it alone. And just as God has been faithful to us, God also expects us to be faithful to him as well. And this brings us back to our scripture lessons for today. When Elijah was told by God to step out on faith and to go where I tell you to go, Elijah could have easily said, there's a drought out there. You know what, God? I'm good. I'm going to figure out how to make it work right where I am, but thank you for the invitation. He could have just simply stayed there. But instead, he stepped out on faith, and he believed that if he followed God faithfully, God would faithfully take care of him. And then, in the case of the widow in the Old Testament, when asked by Elijah for his last bit of food and her last bit of water so that he would have something to eat, she could have easily said, I'm sorry, but I'm not in a position where I can help you at this time. But instead, she took a leap of faith. She stepped out on faith and believed that if she followed God faithfully, God would faithfully take care of her and her son. And again, when we look to our gospel reading, the poor widow who we saw in the treasury, as she entered into the temple, and there came the time for her to pay her temple tithes and taxes, when the collection plate came by, she could have easily said, Lord, you know my situation. You know what I have, and I don't really know where I'm going to get another dollar from. And so, if it's all the same to you, how about we wait until my financial future becomes more certain, and then I'll consider giving you something. But she didn't do that. Instead, she stepped out on faith and believed that if she faithfully followed God, God would faithfully take care of her. And so I go back to my two questions. Did each of these people make the right decision, and was it worth it? And the answer to both of those questions is a resounding yes. Yes, they did make the right decision. Why? Because they knew that no matter what they were facing, that God would be there with them, that God would never let them down, that God would never turn their back on them. Each of them did the right thing. They cast their fears aside and they trusted that God had already worked out a plan so that once they trusted in Him, once they did what they knew they were supposed to do, they knew that God was going to be right there with them to make things right. Or to put it in the words that were used by David and Gary, God was a totally involved personal Savior who gave each of them the same way He gives us, totally involved personal service. And as all of this has taken place, we come back to our part in all of this. Because just as God has always been faithful to us, we too have an obligation to God. And so how does that look for us today? Well, in the skit that we saw, Gary's character was struggling. And what he came out with was this grand knowledge that God has included us, each and every one of us as individuals, in a part of His larger plan for this entire world. The part that we play is that we are to help one another, provide for one another, and care for one another. Just like in the play, the reasons why we give tips to our waiters and waitresses is because we know that most of them are struggling and making very little money. And so it's those tips that help them to afford a living. And just as we do that, God uses our tithes in the same type of way to ensure that the church as a whole will be able to help those who God will send our way. Yes, church, your tithes that you give to your church are used to reach out to those who are struggling. Your tithes are used to provide a place of hope for those who will come. It's a place, your tithes are used to provide a place that's comforting for those who are lost and weary and who've been turned out by the world. Your tithes are used so that the church can provide a safe place for those who are seeking refuge. And I can go on and on with this list. Beloved people of God, your tithes are more than just money that we give to pay the salaries and the bills of the church. Our tithes are a reminder that God has blessed each and every one of us to be a part of His larger plan. Just out of curiosity, as you heard those scriptures read early on, how many of you believed that these scriptures were just myth or made up stories or fables that were just used to get us excited, that they were just a coincidence that just happened? Or do we believe that in the midst of all of that, God was actually at work making a way for Elijah to have food to eat, making a way and providing for the widow and her son, making a way so that the widow who had the 2 copper coins would not go into financial ruin, but would eventually find her way forward and be able to sustain herself as God continued to give her breath and life. Beloved people of God, if you believe that these stories are true, and if you believe that God has the ability to make things happen in our lives, I invite you to accept this challenge. As we look at what our tithes can do, I'm going to invite us to become a part of a special day. On Sunday, January the 6th, it's the first Sunday in the new year. I invite you to join me into living into being a part of God's plan for this world. I'm going to call it Second's Day of Tithing, short for Second Reformed Church's Day of Tithing. And what I want you to do is to take a look at your income. Take a look at what you give. And then I want you to calculate 10% of your income. And I invite you to tithe that on that day. And through that, know that you've done two things. One is that you've become a part of God's larger plan. Know that you are doing something that will help somebody who will find himself in need, whether that person be somebody outside of our four walls who will just wander in like they do during the week looking for help when Pastor Anna and I are sitting here. It may be somebody sitting in this very room who might need help. As you look around and you see each other, we come to church every Sunday dressed in our best, but nobody knows our actual situations at home and what's going on. And who knows? That person may actually even be you yourself. Beloved people of God, God has blessed each and every one of us to be a blessing. And so I encourage you to pray about this, to think about this, to go home and see how God will use you to be a part of his greater plan. And who knows? Maybe we'll all come to the same realization that the people in the scriptures did when we read about them. And that is knowing that no matter what, God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with this day and this opportunity to be a part of your larger plan. And we ask, Lord, that you bless us, that we may continue to be a blessing to those who need it most. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.